Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Alison Brown has achieved success in many areas. A Harvard graduate, record label co-founder and owner, mother, and the role that most people know her in, banjo virtuoso. She'll be at the Fresh Grass Bluegrass Festival in Massmoka this weekend, involved in workshops, contests, concerts, fresh scores, and The Man in the Grass, a bluegrass tribute to Johnny Cash. To try to get a handle on all of this, Alison Brown joins us now. Alison, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah.
So before we talk about everything you're doing at Fresh Grass, let's get to know you a little bit. When did you first pick up the banjo?
I first picked up the banjo when I was 10 years old, actually living in Connecticut. And really got into it as a teenager growing up in Southern California.
And your education and career path is fantastic. You went to Harvard, studied history and literature, then UCLA, got an MBA, worked as an investment banker, and then you came back to the banjo. How did you do all of that, and what brought you back to music?
Well, you know, playing the banjo was my first love, and the music of Earl Scruggs and that style of bluegrass banjo playing just really captivated me from the first time I heard it. But I never really thought that I would be able to make a living at it. I thought of it as an excellent avocation to talk about at cocktail parties. And my parents, who are both attorneys, you know, really kind of encouraged me along a kind of more white-collar path. And so I spent a couple of years after all that schooling working for Smith Barney in their public finance division, and ultimately realized that I liked the banjo way more than I liked tax-exempt debt. Imagine that. So I just allowed myself a little break from that to work on music, and as luck and fate would have it, I guess, got a chance to join Alison Krauss's band and toured with her for a few years. And then when I was thinking, well, shoot, maybe I should go to law school, I got a call from Michelle Schock to put together a band for a world tour that she was starting. And so just one thing after another has conspired to keep me on a musical path.
And in 1995, you co-founded Compass Records with your husband. Tell us, what made you want to do that?
Well, at that time, it was really before the whole do-it-yourself artist boom and the artist-run label boom. It was maybe just right at the beginning of the artist-run label thing. And our experience as artists on other labels, we just really felt as a result of that that there really needed to be labels out there that were run by musicians rather than people who were accountants or suits, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe kind of naively, but with that notion of trying to create a really artist-friendly roots music label, we started Compass.
How do you balance running the label and being a touring, performing, composing, recording musician?
Well, it's a challenge, but we have an excellent staff here at the label, so, you know, when I'm off touring, business is still, you know, getting done, which is great. But it is a challenge because one is a right-brain pursuit and the other is very much a left-brain pursuit. And so it really kind of gives me, I feel like, an insight into the challenges of do-it-yourself artists, which has really become kind of the style du jour in a way.
Right, the new normal almost.
Mm-hmm. Almost. But I feel like it's really, really hard to do both things. I mean, I do both things and it works for me, but we're really advocates of strong partnerships with artists and think that labels can bring a tremendous amount to the business of selling and promoting music, which frees up artists to be creatives.
You have a new album coming out soon, The Song of the Banjo. When will that be released?
That's coming out on October 9th, but we're going to have it available for sale first at Fresh Grass this weekend.
That's exciting. And did you work toward having that happen, or is it just sort of kismet that the album was ready in time for Fresh Grass?
Well, you know, it's kind of kismet, because we were thinking about putting it out in the spring, but then we realized that, you know, Fresh Grass feels like such a family to us at this point, having played the festival for 4 years. And they're very, you know, kind of broad, big tent approach to roots music is very, you know, kind of relates to the way we think about roots music too. So it just sort of seemed to be the perfect place to bring out the record.
You'll be involved at Fresh Grass in a number of cool ways. I want to talk about all of them. And let's start with, if you don't mind, the Fresh Score performances. Tell us what that is and how it came to be part of the lineup this year.
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I had the privilege of playing at the Jewish Film Festival at Lincoln Center last winter, and I was asked to do an improvised score to a short film from 1910 by D.W. Griffith called Child of the Ghetto. And it was, at first I was like, wow, you know, banjo with a film from 1910 about the immigrant experience, how does it all connect? But it worked really well. And so then I suggested that maybe that kind of concept could be broadened, because the campus at Mass MoCA creates just kind of such an artsy and intellectual environment, and the gallery seemed like a perfect place to expand the theme. So I'm going to do that film again with Daryl Enger playing fiddle with me, which I'm really excited about. And I believe that there are a couple other bands, too, that are going to do improvised scores to short films. It was so much fun to do it, and the audience really seemed to enjoy it. It's kind of a fresh way to view some of this historic footage.
When you were approached to do it, how did you go about creating the music? Do you improvise it, or is there a piece you've written that you play with the film?
And that's a really good question, too. It's sort of improvised, but it's road-mapped. As I watched the film, I felt like it was important to have different themes, musical themes for the key characters and key plot moments in the film. So that's road-mapped, but then what happens between those fence posts is kind of up to the interpretation of the day.
I think many people, certainly not everybody, but the idea of improvisation is probably connected more closely with jazz music than with bluegrass. Is improvisation in bluegrass common? Is there a lot of jamming among bluegrass musicians?
Yeah, it's incredibly common. I think it's one of the things that bluegrass and jazz really share. I mean, obviously the harmonic structure of bluegrass music is much more narrow and much more diatonic. But yeah, in bluegrass music, that's the thing. You'll state the melody, and then everybody will have a turn improvising a solo over those chord changes. So it's very much improvised.
And on that same topic, there will be a banjo mega jam in Club B10 at Mass MoCA on Saturday as part of the Fresh Grass Festival. Tell us what you can about what that will entail. And I know that part of it will be who shows up, whoever shows up, and you don't know that ahead of time.
Yeah, well, what I did last year that was really fun was to get the winners of the banjo contest to join me in that workshop. And this year, since there's a fiddle contest, I may try to browbeat the fiddle players, too. And that should create a really good foundation for a lot of fun playing. I mean, I've been just so blown away by the caliber of the young pickers that have played in the contest. It should be really fun.
Can you tell us more about the contest? You are a judge in the awards contest. How does that happen at Fresh Grass? How do people get involved, and what do they do at the festival? And what do you have to do while you're there in regards to the contest?
Right. Well, when I was growing up in Southern California, contests were a big part of the overall bluegrass scene, and they were really common at festivals. And it had just kind of been my experience that component had sort of faded away over the years. So I was really excited that the Fresh Grass folks thought it would be great to bring the contest component into the festival. So basically what we do is we vet the top five candidates from, you know, across the country, all the submissions that we get in each category, and then each act has to play. I think the rules are a little different for the different instruments, but basically it tends to be a song that shows their connection to traditional music, and then something that's a little bit more innovative. And it's been really exciting. I mean, the contest last year drew a packed house at the Hunter Theater, and I expect it to be just as exciting this year. They've added fiddle this year, so there'll be a duo contest, a band contest, banjo contest, and a fiddle contest. But it's really fun. I mean, it's great to see people, you know, kind of up there trying something out. I mean, kind of the next great talent. I actually had a chance to produce a record this summer for the duo that won the contest last year, called Keylace and Cloud. And they're fantastic. I mean, they're just a great way to discover music that you've never heard of before.
Another thing that you've worked on for the festival is The Man in Grass, a tribute to Johnny Cash. And you have done this before. Tell us about that, please.
Right. So this is really interesting. It grew out, The Man in Grass grew out of a performance that I was asked to do at Symphony Space last spring. And it was part of the wall-to-wall Cash day that they had last April. They asked me to put together some music, and so I decided to try to put together a bluegrass tribute to Johnny Cash, which was interesting because you would think with the huge shadow that Johnny Cash has cast over country music and Music Row, that his music would be more integral to like the bluegrass canon, but it actually isn't. But what's so fascinating is that his songs work really well bluegrass style. So I've got an all-star band, including Frank Sullivan, who's up for numerous IBMA awards at the Bluegrass Convention this year, and Trey Hensley, who's an up-and-coming, awesome singer, incredible guitar player. He's in his early 20s, he's from East Tennessee, and he actually played with Johnny in June when he was like 12. And so it's going to be really fun. We've got some secret special guests who are going to come out and join us, and the music is really fun to play in a bluegrass style. It's going to be a blast.
Johnny Cash, of course, wrote and performed countless incredible songs. How will you select the ones that you will adapt for bluegrass and play on Sunday?
Well, we picked kind of a cross section of tunes that everybody knows of Johnny's, and then some that people will be surprised to know he covered. He covered a lot of different songs. I mean, his repertoire is vast.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have some of the tunes from his later, like, American records, too. So it gives a kind of a good snapshot of kind of the breadth of Johnny's music.
Allison Brown will be running around making musical magic at the Fresh Grass Bluegrass Festival at Massmoca this weekend. For more information, visit freshgrass.com. Allison Brown, it's been a treat to speak with you. Thank you so much for taking the time, and have a wonderful time in North Adams.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah.
Once again, that's freshgrass.com for more information, freshgrass.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.